This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have double trouble. We have two agile professionals in the office today. We have Bob Payne. He's the Vice President of Enterprise Agile Consulting at LifeSpeed.
Hi, John.
And Nathaniel Cadwell, Agile Coach and Owner at Lift Hand LLC. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning,
good morning.
John.
Well, you know, if you read any federal publications in the last 2 or 3 months, there's a fellow named Steve Van Roykel, and he talks about agile software development of all things, and he has a blog on it, and he's encouraging people to move into the area of agile. And some of my listeners know tons and tons about Scrum and agile and lean software, and some of my listeners are kind of scratching their heads wondering what it's all about. I thought we'd bring you two gentlemen in and talk about what agile is, what it isn't, and maybe ways they can learn more in order to adapt it to their particular environment. But before we begin, many of your listeners are wondering how Bob got here, how Nathaniel got here. So, Bob, maybe you can expand a little bit about your background, how you got interested in software development, please.
Sure. Well, oddly enough, I was an engineer working on artificial intelligence systems and couldn't find a job doing that. So I ended up doing software development. Worked my way up through software development into project management, up through architects. Forgot a lot of the things that I had learned about engineering, and was wondering why more data was not allowing my projects to stay on track.
Hmm.
And the thing that I forgot was that feedback is key in any control system. You need to get feedback, use that information to steer a system, in this case a project, towards a successful end. Happened to run into Ron Jeffries, one of the early thinkers in the extreme programming movement, one of the agile methods, and decided that that was the direction I was going to take my career, quit my job without a plan, and immediately became an agile coach. So for the past 13 years or so, I've been doing agile coaching, consulting, starting with small projects, quickly moving up to large enterprise transformations, stabilization and recovery, and several multi-hundred person projects and programs under my belt. So,
well, that is a great topic for us because a lot of people think agile projects are just for small. We'll talk more about that in a couple of minutes. Nathaniel, how'd you get interested in agile software development, please?
Well, I guess I had a career path somewhat similar to Bob, also a background in doing software development. And I did that for a number of years in different roles, and then found myself doing more project management related type of activities. And as I did that and saw challenges that we were having around delivery, and the, I think, tipping point for me in terms of becoming a convert to Agile was a project that had a very long traditional requirements gathering phase and then was ultimately shelved. And the conclusion of myself and other people on the team who were interested in Agile was that we could have shipped something in this time frame that would have added value to the business, to our client. So for myself and for other leaders in that organization, that was sort of our turning point towards Agile, and haven't looked back since. And subsequently went from a role of project management leader or Agile leader to sort of a coaching role. And then in the last year, I've just started my own Agile coaching practice.
Great. So, Bob, if you're listening to the show when there's snow on the ground or the leaves are starting to turn, Redskins start to play, right, and you're wondering about, well, geez, I want to maybe sit down and sit in the back of the room and listen more face-to-face and see what's going on with this project. There's events coming up in town. There's an event that we want to focus on today. It's called Agile DC. You can get more information at agiledc.org. Tell me about this, how it started, and how you folks are involved in it, please.
Absolutely. A couple of years ago, we decided there was a organization called Agile Tour, and they were looking for cities to run conferences in, and we ran a conference, a small conference, around 100 folks. And we said, wow, this is really an extraordinarily rich environment. We got a lot of great speakers. And last year, we ran our second one. We ran a technical conference as well last year, but the Agile DC conference last year brought in about 350 people, and we had Agile speakers, a lot of authors, experts in the field speaking at the conference, and this year we expect about 500, and we've got topics ranging from technology, Agile methods in general, enterprise concerns, and a government track.
Nathaniel, so this conference covers not-for-profit, it covers govies, it covers, you know, from a business point of view. So it really slices and dices the concept of software development from many different angles.
It does, and I think that's a really interesting aspect of this conference and really reflects our local community. I mean, we have, obviously, a very large government presence in the Washington, D.C. area, but we also have a very healthy private industry and a lot of representation from not-for-profits. So I think that it's something that's really exciting to me is that we get so many different diverse perspectives that I think there's a lot of learning and cross-pollination that can take place there.
You know, Bob, I read a blog about a fellow by the name of Jesse Fuel.
Mm-hmm. And no, Jesse?
You can Google his name and find it. He writes a lot of stuff, travels a lot, goes all over the place. He has a blog from just a couple days ago. He has a picture of this big elephant. and I get it. I get what the picture means. He says, look, big Agile, it's not just for small projects anymore. Mm-hmm. My bias, and I think many of my listeners' bias is oh, you got a little baby project there, you're trying to do something, well, maybe you can use Agile software development. But if you go real big, you're going to just, it just doesn't work. I mean, what's been your experience in that going big?
Well, so I think my experience reflects some of the studies in the industry in that large projects have a lot of complex risks, and they tend to have a much higher failure rate. A lot of the studies that we've seen actually said that Agile scales as well as traditional, may bring you a little higher quality, a little quicker time to market. But the failure rates start to even out as you go big, with traditional projects hitting about 50% and Agile projects hitting about 60% success rate. So I think the success rate goes down with Agile as you go from small to large. The reality is that success rate goes down with traditional as well. So I think early on, many of the Agilists saw this as a problem rather than just a feature of going with an extraordinarily large program.
An Agilist, an Agilista, maybe that's the new phrase.
Yeah.
As you were speaking, I was connecting some dots. We had Vivek Kundra in the studio here. He's, of course, the author of the 25 points.
Right.
Three of those points were modular, Agile software development points. And what company did he wind up at? Well, a little company called Salesforce. Well, guess what? Salesforce wholly embraces Agile software development. No one's going to look at Salesforce and go, oh, small company, not growing fast, not much change. Constant change, constant growth. Big, 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 isn't it?
Absolutely big. In fact, one of our specialties at LifeSpeed is we do stabilization recovery on large programs. When things go south, when they stop system testing at 600, 800 bugs, we come in and, or at least have come in and help them get back on track. So Agile is very risk averse. That's something most people don't understand or know about it, but it uses a different control mechanism.
Sounds like suicide hotline. 600 bugs, I'd jump out the window.
Well, the board was about to cancel the program.
that's suicide hotline right there, you know? They're on the edge of the window, and Bob walks in and go, ho, 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 God, put down the chair. Come away from the edge of the roof.
Yep.
And I think people, there are some situations, I'm sure, where people, you know, beat their head against the wall, about to jump out the window. They go, well, we've tried everything. Let's try being flexible. Oh, right. So we'll bring in Nathaniel, we'll bring in Bob, and okay, worst case scenario, can't get any worse than it is now. I mean, hundreds of bugs. We said hundreds of bugs. I kind of went, whoa, I jumped up and said, no, I don't have anything to do with hundreds.
Those were just the high and the critical.
Wow.
Yeah.
So all kinds of lists of stuff. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll try to maybe define this whole concept of traditional software development and modular software development or flexible agile software development. Turns out that roots are from the 1950s and 60s. It's
Absolutely.
Always been around. Mm-hmm. It's like, geez, I've always had that car in the garage. Why didn't I ever use it? I just used it on Sundays, but I should have used it earlier than this. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Bob Payne, Vice President, Enterprise Agile Consulting at LifeSpeed, and Nathaniel Cadwell, Agile Coach and Owner at Lift Hand, LLC. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Bob Payne, Vice President, Enterprise Agile Consulting, LifeSpeed, and Nathaniel Cadwell, Agile Coach and Owner at Lift Hand, LLC. We're talking modular software development, flexible, agile, all kinds of words to use to describe this. And we're talking about an event coming up in October. It's called Agile DC. And Bob has an Agile DC t-shirt on. We should put this up on the blog or something. And more information you can find at agiledc.org. Started small 2 or 3 years ago. Increasingly, hundreds of people are attending this event because you can sit in the room and find out about different topics about agile software development, where you may have heard it in the air or maybe read one of these points that came out of the White House and want to learn more. It's a good, flexible place to go and learn about these things. I've always benefited just from humans being in front of me rather than online, but there's both a value. Bob, let me ask you a question here. Let's say we have a listener who knows more than you about agile software development and is really chomping at the bit and works for the FDA and wants to do the next project in an agile manner. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the ceiling is not technical knowledge. Sometimes the ceiling is just limitation of contracts. Have you
found
that in the
back? Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Contracting is a huge issue. We work with a federal client and they're trying to get agile software done. I mean, one of the tenets is we want to integrate through the entire system to be able to deliver a chunk of business value. Their subcontractors are working on completely different time scales, one doing the back-end data work, one doing the front-end, and they're wondering, how do we make this work? Well, it's extraordinarily difficult in that case because you've shifted the time scale. I think it's important when people start looking at contracts to do, as you said, modular contracts, little short contracts with concrete deliverables so that at the end of the contract, they have another contract lined up and they can move any change orders that have come out of the inspection of working software in the original contract to move those changes into the next contract. The iteration is on a much longer scale, but some iteration is better than no iteration.
Nathaniel, there's going to be a person speaking at your conference, kind of a big dog in your world. His name is Jim Highsmith, and he's one of the folks who got in that room in Utah in 2001 and came up with the Agile Manifesto. Is he one of the real big dogs in the world? He's like the Ben Franklin or something?
Yeah. I don't know which one of the founding fathers
him
he would
which
like to be.
Which one are you, buddy? Are you John Adams or are you the Ben Franklin?
He was involved with the federal papers, but not really...
Well, we're certainly very excited though to have Jim being a keynote this year. We've been very fortunate so far with the keynoters that we've had, and to have Jim this year is a great honor. So we're excited to have him. Yeah. He is, as you would say, John, a big dog.
A big dog.
He is a bigger dog in the APLN, the Agile Project Leadership Network. He was the founder really of that, which is a an offshoot of the Agile movement and Agile out of the Agile Manifesto said, you know, project managers have a place at this table too, and started up with leaders.
So Nathaniel, what is this Scrum Alliance? What does this all fit in? I mean, is this a sport or what is the Scrum Alliance anyway?
The Scrum Alliance is not about sport. It's about the Agile methodology of Scrum.
Maybe you can define Scrum. Some of our listeners know, but let's just go through what a Scrum is and the sprint and this whole idea behind Agile. You want to go with this, Nathaniel, or maybe Bob is more comfortable with that? would prefer to?
Well, I can take that. So Scrum is a methodology framework, and it relies on these short time box iterations, or in Scrum they call them sprints. And the term Scrum actually came from a Harvard Business Review paper that talked about incremental delivery with a team moving the ball down the field together, as in a rugby game. So the founders of Scrum read this paper and said, you know, we can use some of these ideas from the Harvard Business Review from the 80s and create a software development methodology using time box iterations, feedback, working software at every increment, usually less than a month.
And Nathaniel, I think some people will criticize agile software development and say, well, this is all uncontrolled. You just have people running around with their heads cut off. I mean, it's deceptively well organized, isn't it? An agile method really is more controlled than people may think.
Right. Now, there's definitely a high level of discipline to agile software development. As Bob was mentioning, I mean, within Scrum, you have the idea of these time-boxed iterations, or as in Scrum nomenclature, sprints. You're regularly doing the process of inspection and adaption, both the daily at a team level, at sprint reviews, and other boundaries.
Yeah, and those boundaries are used for really executive control points. We want to have stakeholders in the room seeing where we are, where we're going, and it is a very transparent, risk-averse method where we want to have problems early so that we know that we have time to fix them. Most problems in a traditional waterfall method are found at the end when you have no time to fix them.
And many listeners know, but I'll go through this, reinvent the wheel. Many people say that the way traditional software is developed is with a waterfall. It means you get a piece of paper, you write exactly what you want, mm-hmm. and then you hand that to developers, and the developers write the code, and then you send the code out to the customer. The customer goes, I wanted blue, not green. Then you go back to the start. And this process can take multiple years. In the federal government, we've seen multiple years. And what's happened is, during those multiple years, is that things change. The iPad gets popular, and so then when you end of the race, you have to go back to the beginning, and nothing ever gets done. I think that's one of the values of an agile approach is, no, we're not going to wait 3 years. What we're going to do is wait maybe 3 to 6 months. Is that a reasonable time, Bob?
Absolutely. And in fact, the interesting thing about waterfall is people, if they go back and read the original Royce paper, he talked about at least two increments. Build a prototype once, throw it away, you get information from that, and then build the thing right the next time. Nobody is ever throwing the first one away except for major project failures when they've already invested $950 million in the program.
Now, Nathaniel, I guess if you're building a tank or a house or a car, you can't afford to have a partial build. You have to have at least the roof, and it has to work. But with software development, a traditional waterfall method may not be the best way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. I mean, and even within the world of manufacturing, I think that there are examples where there are ways of doing that that look more like agile software development. But certainly, with software, it's incredibly malleable. You have the ability to develop and adjust as you go along.
There is a group in town here called Project Managers, PMI, Project mm-hmm. Management Institute. Mm-hmm. Yep. We had the president in the year here a couple of years back. It would seem to me that they should have a strong group that's going to encourage agile software development, do they?
Well, they now have a nascent group that started up. Actually, the accreditation just started in January. It's the PMI ACP, so you can now get accredited from PMI in your knowledge and practice of agile methods. So they have slowly, like the federal government, embraced what we have, the truths that we have found self-evident.
There we go, the founding fathers. You're the John Adams, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
It's just if you fail enough times at some things and you have to come up with a better way to do it. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of stories, and I have personal stories from my life where I've tried and failed and tried and failed and figured it out. It just seems reasonable. When those guys build those rockets, the rockets actually change in flight, and they actually get feedback and change, and many industrial systems expect feedback.
Yeah.
Nuclear mm-hmm. reactors expect feedback to change. I don't see why the people developing software don't expect it software as well.
Yeah, and I would actually even argue that many new hardware hardware systems are being developed in an iterative, incremental way, and they are intended to be modular so that changes can be incorporated down the line.
One consideration, I think, is engaging business practices or business engagement. And sometimes I think for a nonprofit or maybe for the federal employee, they may not see that direct correlation between business engagement and software. Let's take a quick break. We can come back, talk more about this engaging some of the business practices and find out how a software developer can go possibly face-to-face or maybe have more interaction with the end users than in a traditional type of software development. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Bob Payne, VP Enterprise Agile Consulting at LifeSpeed, and Nathaniel Cadwell, Agile Coach and Owner at Lift Hand LLC. We're talking about agiledc.org. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have some Agile software development experts. We have Bob Payne, Vice President, Enterprise Agile Consulting at LifeSpeed, and Nathaniel Cadwell, who is an Agile coach and owner at Lift Hand LLC. Well, gentlemen, I'll be blogging about this interview, and you can find my blog at Armature John Gilroy or Scumbag John Gilroy. Type those words in, you'll find my blog. Because a lot of people like reading, some people don't. I mean, it's all kinds of different ways to get information out. And I guess, are there blogs you like to read? Or you have your own blog, don't you, Bob?
Well, so I do some podcasting. I don't have quite as many listeners as you do, John, up at about 650,000 downloads. But we've got, if folks are interested in Agile, I've spoken to many, many of the luminaries in the Agile community, really many too many to mention here, but you talked about the Agile Manifesto and the sort of the founding fathers of Agile and mothers. You can hear them chat with me at agiletoolkit.com, or if you have iTunes, or just type in Agile podcast and it'll be one of the top hits.
That's great, because many of my listeners will be listening to us when the Redskins are playing, or there's snow on the ground. They come back and they go, well, I want to learn more about this scrum. I want to learn more about sprints. I want to know more about, you know, taking a look at the project from a different perspective and slicing and dicing in different ways. So it's nice for my listeners to know they can type that in and get a little bit more information. Nathaniel, I think we're going to go back to many of the basics here and talk about, you know, what exactly is a sprint? What about this stand-up meeting or daily meeting? Mm-hmm. What about the, why 7 people? Why not 12 people in the group? Why not 50 people in the group? Why is this a comfortable group size 12 or is it 7 and 8? Tell me more about more of the nitty-gritty here of a sprint and of an Agile development team.
Sure. So I guess there's not a hard and fast rule in terms of the number of people that that work. But mm-hmm. what I found from experience and what seems to be a commonly held number is of 5 to 7 plus or minus 3 or thereabouts. So and generally that just goes back to the idea that beyond a certain number of people, the communication becomes more complex to keep everybody looped into what is going on.
Mm-hmm. What I actually see in a lot of the larger engagements is the teams are larger, because if you have a large program, it is better to make the team larger than to make more and more and more teams. So mm-hmm. it really is a trade-off, and there's a wide variety in team size. I've seen as many as 30 people on a given Agile team. And is that ideal? No, but neither is having 2 teams of 15, or 3 teams.
I would imagine that if you have a larger number of software developers on a project, I think that you have to start focusing more on the big picture and what the long-term goal is, to make sure that they don't get sidetracked or off on different places that they don't. Is that one approach? Larger groups of people have more emphasis on the big picture? Or how does that all divide? Or how would you even emphasize things with these daily meetings?
Well, so the ideal of the daily meeting is for the team to sync up about what they're working on, what they're going to be working on next, and any kind of obstacles that they're encountering, so that they can bring those up to resolve them together or escalate them. And I think one of the big values that comes out of that is that just as a discipline, you have a regular syncing up of the group so that they have sort of a common context of what is going on the project.
Bob, what about non-co-located teams? This is where you have some fellows in Kansas, maybe
sure.
Brazil. I mean, how does that work with Agile software development?
Well, it works. Certainly, there are a lot of distributed Agile teams. It does become more difficult to communicate. And so most of those teams, if they're going to be successful, put in tools and technologies, Skype, WebEx, so that they can actually maintain some level of cohesive context. And I think that's where a lot of traditional distributed teams fail, is they don't have the context. Bugs creep in, misunderstandings get amplified over time, and that results in lower quality, longer time to market.
So, Nathaniel, what is a product owner? Is that like I own a Ford Fiesta, or what is a product owner anyway?
That's one interpretation of it, I guess. Do you own a Ford Fiesta?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Just checking. So the idea of the product owner is that it's a role, and I think that term is originated out of Scrum, but the idea is that it's one person or a person representing a group of product owners, the product owner being someone who is working with the team to define from a business perspective what they actually want to get built.
Fundamentally, it looks like the person that owns the requirements for the program or project.
Right.
So this could be on an NFL team, the player's representative or the customer representative. So a product owner would sit in on a meeting and say, no, this is, you know, I was at the customer site yesterday and they want it to be blue or green or so they almost represent interests that are not they're different from the software developer's interest. Is that right? Is that an intentional probably play there?
Absolutely. So the product owners really their main role is to represent the voice of the user, and to understand the value of the stakeholders. So if they're building a product for sale, it may be marketing, it may be the end user, but they define value and priority. And they also work with their team to bring the requirements to the table. The engineers are responsible and accountable for estimation, high quality delivery, and figuring out how to deliver these chunks of value that the product owner has brought to the team to the product owner in a month or less, and in a demonstrable working system.
That's the key word. That's the phrase that pays, a month or less. Consider multi-year versus a month or less.
Right.
At the conference that's coming up, Nathaniel, and you can get more information at agiledc.org, you're probably not going to see a business card with product owner on it. It's probably going to be project manager, but their job is going to be representing the interests of the end users to the software team. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, I would say the difference between a project manager is the project manager is really responsible for budget and delivery, and the product owner is really responsible for the product or the system that we're building, so the requirements. So sometimes there's some tension there because the product owner wants it all and the project manager knows that they can't buy it
yeah.
all.
You know, I work for a small company of a lot of software developers. If I just sashayed in there tomorrow and started pounding on the table and said, tomorrow we're going to start Agile, I'm going to force it on you, mm-hmm. I'm not going to walk out of there in one piece. I mean, software developers are very strongly opinionated, and I think one of the challenges with moving to an Agile method would be just getting agreement and almost has to be a groundswell of interest in it. I mean, I think this is a method of software development that people have to almost want themselves rather than having. I couldn't see forcing this on anyone. Could you, Nathaniel?
Yeah, I don't think that forcing is the way to go for any methodology. Certainly, but it certainly involves a high level of collaboration across roles. I mean, one of the things that we really get to, I mean, people skills and collaboration are very important, and we are in it as a team, whether we're product owners, developers, testers, or some other role. And so That's a big culture change in some cases.
Organizational change is hard. Regardless of whether we're dealing with developers or...
Bob, let's put you in a time warp, go back to that garage where Steve Wozniak is developing his first computer, sitting there all alone, kind of like Thomas Edison. Well, that's not anything to do with agile software development. Agile software development is intentionally with a group, interacting with other groups, moving it along. I mean, this is a new and different way. I think social skills are important with agile software development.
Social skills are absolutely important. I think the analogy with Steve Wozniak is interesting because as electrical engineers, and they did a lot of prototyping. Prototype it, see if it works, understand where the problems are, and loop that information back. So interestingly, there is an analogy, but it is not the social analogy.
The analogy is the loop back and feedback.
Yeah, it is. It's feedback.
Makes sense. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, talk more about agile software development, some of its strengths, some of the critique of it, and where you can learn more. And you can learn more at agiledc.org. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we're speaking with Bob Payne, Vice President, Enterprise Agile Consulting at LifeSpeed, and Nathaniel Cadwell, Agile Coach and Owner at Lift Hand, LLC. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we're talking about agile software development, about Agile DC, a big conference coming up. We have Bob Payne in the studio. He's the Vice President for Enterprise Agile Consulting at LifeSpeed, L-I-T-H-E, LifeSpeed, and Nathaniel Cadwell, Agile Coach and Owner at Lift, L-I-F-T, Lift Hand, LLC. Everyone's talking about Twitter, and my Twitter handle is at Ray Gilray, kind of my alter ego. And is there any Twitter handle you want to have people follow you with, Bob? Or?
Sure. I go as at Agile Toolkit, and I use that for my podcast.
I can spell that. And how about you, Nathaniel?
Yeah, well, the Twitter handle that I wanted to plug today is at Agile DC, which is the conference.
At Agile DC. So a lot of people get information from blogs, some people from Twitters, some people actually read books. I mean, that's getting to be stranger and stranger. What I have all my guests do, including Vince Cerf and Jimmy Wales, is take my 10-point nerd test and see if you're really a card-carrying nerd. So I think there are listeners wondering, I don't know that, Bob. Maybe he's not really a nerd. Maybe he's, the fake nerd or something like that. So I'm going to ask you gentlemen the questions, and each one you got to come up with an honest answer or make it sound honest. Okay. Bob, you bought your first computer.
The year was probably 1981.
81, that's big points. Nathaniel, how about you?
Well, okay, so I had access to computers prior to this, but my first own computer was about circa 1995.
95, okay. Bob, the year your first cell phone?
That's a good question. I would say it was 95 or 96.
Kind of respectable. How about you, Nathaniel?
96,
okay, kind of even there. And you have a Twitter feed, of course.
I do.
You both have Twitter feeds. At Agile Toolkit, at Agile DC. And you have your own blog. You not only have a blog, but you have an audio part of the blog, too. Huh?
It is primarily the audio part. I don't really write. Good. I talk.
And do you have a blog?
I don't.
Oh, negative points there. And Bob, do you use any online personal backup services?
I do. We use Dropbox.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Nathaniel?
Dropbox also, and I'm also starting to play with Ubuntu One.
Mm-hmm. Heard all kinds of good news about that over the Twitter versus this world. Bob, what kind of smartphone do you have?
I have an iPhone.
Nathaniel?
Motorola Photon.
Really, huh? Set it on stun? Sounds like that. Photon. How many number apps on your smartphone?
Six pages worth.
Six
I don't
pages
know how
worth.
Many
okay.
That,
Nathaniel,
too many.
You have too many.
Too many.
We like these agile answers. Six pages, too many. No, you have 15 or 18. Well, depends on how you ask.
It's a relative.
It's relative.
Relative
sizing.
Tablet devices you own.
iPad.
iPad. Nathaniel.
Kindle.
A Kindle. Well, you're kind of going down that strange road, huh? Hmm. Social networking sites you participate in?
Not many. I am on Facebook. I am on LinkedIn, but I'm not really active on either.
Mm-hmm. LinkedIn for me.
LinkedIn for you. Final question, Bob. Last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
Audio. The eyes are going.
So it's like drive to New York and listen to something. Or,
yep.
Good.
Or fly. I travel a lot.
Yeah. And Nathaniel?
Electronic.
Electronic? Didn't ask what book. Who cares what book you read, as long as you incorporate it into your thinking. when you look at agile software development, I think early in the show we talked about, well, it's always been around. People have been talking about it since the 1950s, and I think so many projects have failed. Probably around the late 90s, they switched, and it got more codified with this Agile Manifesto. And everyone listening can type in Agile Manifesto and find out exactly what it is and what the process is involved. I think the real question, Bob, is where do you think this whole world is going to head the next 5 to 7 years? You think, is it going to increase in popularity just with small projects? Are larger projects going to be used with it? Are federal agencies going to consider it more and more? Is Steve Van Roekel just screaming against the wind, and we're seeing to make progress in this, Bob? Where do you think it's going
to
happen?
He absolutely is going to make progress. We get more and more requests for help in the federal space almost on a weekly basis now. So he's absolutely correct. It is 80% of commercial, large commercial organizations have some Agile in their organization, and that is growing.
You know, Nathaniel, I went up to one of our technical folks and I said, what we need in our website is a white paper. Let's do a white paper on Agile software development. And he said, there's tons of them out there. I mean, you can just, you walk to the 7-Eleven, yeah. You're probably mm-hmm. going to find five yeah. of them. And so I said, well, he doesn't know. He goes, no, it's not only not new. It's like telling people you should start wearing shoes in the winter or something. I mean, it's almost out there. But there are listeners that really don't know much about it. And
right.
and where, if someone's listening to this online at 2 o'clock in the morning while they're answering email, where would you suggest they go to learn more? Just online, or maybe blogs, or conferences, or LinkedIn groups?
Wow, there are so. I mean, exactly to your point, there are so many great resources out there that it's hard to know where to start in terms of Google is your friend, as they yeah. say. But in terms of local groups, I think one of the things that is most useful is people are starting to read about these things and maybe trying to apply them, they want to practice them, is to meet other practitioners who are actually doing it and to benefit from that knowledge. So groups like the Agile Leadership Network, they have local meetings. There's, mm-hmm. As we were talking about earlier, PMI, there's some kind of community of practice related to Agile.
There's an Agile Influencers group run by Paul Booz from the EPA.
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful idea. When I was 14, I tried to learn martial arts, so I got a book on judo. I learned Osho Togari and all the names. I didn't know anything about it. I found a Japanese guy. He threw me on my face about 50 times. Then I learned what Osho Togari is. I mean, it's a very vicious throw. And I think the same is true for Scrum. You can read these things in the Agile right. Manifesto, mm-hmm. but really you have to sit down and have a cup of coffee with Bob or Nathaniel or someone going, mm-hmm. can I really really, how do we do this? Do they really meet every day? And they'll explain that, won't they?
And if you're extraordinarily curious, I believe we're going to have a small software development group doing some Agile development at the one-day conference. So you can even see people doing it.
Yeah. Todd Park had a Datapalooza here about a month ago, and that's what they did. They had little mini code camps there, and they right. wrote mm-hmm. apps right there. They said, no, we're going to show you how to do it right yeah. here. And I think that's, for a lot of people, there may be people who can read things and understand it, but you have to maybe watch or see or talk to someone. I guess I get more information from humans than from the net, but some people can listen to podcasts, listen to this, and at least mm-hmm. get directed to the right area, I'd hope.
Yep. But the key is it's not just for software development. There are many organizations that are using Agile to deliver many different types of products. You know, marketing campaigns, content for online e-learning. It's all over.
I was Googling Agile software this morning at about 5:30, and what an article I found was 15 ways to use Agile marketing in your next campaign. I said, to use Agile marketing? What do you mean by Agile marketing? So what marketing people may do is they may have a newsletter that comes out and then get feedback from the newsletter, and the next newsletter, it changes slightly.
Yeah, absolutely.
No one cares about X, they care about Y. No one cares about diesel fuel in the cars, they care about suspension, and so change it that way. So I think this Agile approach is coming into the world of marketing of all
yeah.
places.
Well, Agile really allows organizations, teams, to be able to manage change in a responsible way, delivering working, tested software or products, and show those pieces, incremental pieces, to the people that need the product or service, get feedback, integrate the feedback, and reduce risk.
You know, Nathaniel, first quarter of this year, 280% growth in tablets, 4% growth in desktops. You know, I think desktops may go the way of the dodo. And just within the last 5 or 6 years I've been doing the show, the transition has been drastic. And so anyone writing software for this environment, you almost have to incorporate, well, what's going to be the next tablet? How is everything going to go? How is it going to change? And you can't do this with some kind of a monolithic cast in concrete approach.
No, I mean, absolutely. And I've seen the same thing as well from clients that I've been working with. The growth in mobile devices is just, it's off the chart relative to desktop. And you need a methodology that is going to allow you to deliver regularly and to adapt.
And I think what Agile does, Bob, is it says, well, we don't know what's coming next, but guess what? We're going to ask. And so maybe in the fall, something's coming up.
Yeah, there is a lot of road mapping that happens in Agile. The key is if you have a moving target, you need to be able to steer.
We're going to have to take a quick break. We have to end this interview. We've been talking about Agile Software Development Conference coming up in October. If you'd like to learn more, you can go to agiledc.org and learn more about the conference and maybe even talk to the Ben Franklin of Agile Software Development, a guy named Highsmith, if you wish. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Bob Payne, Vice President, Enterprise Agile Consulting at LifeSpeed, and Nathaniel Cadwell, Agile Coach and Owner at Lift Hand LLC. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.